To the Gospel of Matthew, and we're going to be in the 18th chapter. It's also printed in your bulletin. But before we go there, let's pray again. Lord, we praise you for your word. Your word is truth. Your spirit moves through your word in ways we cannot fathom. And so we ask, Lord, that you help us step into that wonder afresh this morning. Let your word wash over us and through us, your spirit speaking. That the beauty of who you are may shine forth and we may reflect it in your life, in your love, in the transformation that you give our souls. In Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you know there's been a children's book in the works. Here it is, Praying the Prayers of the Bible for Kids. I just found out this week that it was printed ahead of schedule, so it's already here, and the goal of this book is to help kids move beyond traditional bedtime prayers, now I lay me down to sleep, you know, into a real conversation, a real relationship with God. And let me tell you, it was a kick to work on. It was a kick to work on, but at the same time, I experienced, I'd say we experience, because it's a team effort to work on a book, more spiritual pushback on this book than any book since Prayers for Prodigals. Because, you know, you just sense sometimes you go to work on something and it matters. And sometimes the devil will mess with you. But I'd never worked on a children's book before. They paired me with Cindy Kenny, who's a VeggieTales author, and Sam Carbaugh, who's an in-house illustrator at Our Daily Bread, who did an incredible job. And I just wanted to share some concepts from the book as a way to set up what we're going to be talking about today. The book contains simple prayers from Scripture and then rhymes and illustrations that help kids understand them and that engage them and help them apply them to life and live them out. So here are just a few of them. You've looked deep into my heart, Lord, and you know all about me. You know me, God, so very well, all the secrets I could tell. You see me when I'm good and bad, happy, sneaky, scared, or sad. There's nothing about me you don't know it all, yet love me so. You are my friend the whole day through. I'm glad to have a friend like you. You know, I didn't know how this would work in speaking this out. I'm wondering, you know, being from California and everything, maybe if we could do the beatnik thing and sort of, maybe not. But here's another. I will thank you by living as I should. I say that I will do what's right. I'll make my bed and share my kite. But words are never quite enough. You like it when I do that stuff. Help me thank you as I should by loving you and being good. That matters more than words I say. Help me to thank you every day. And then there's a verse after that. I do have faith. Please help me to have even more. In other words, that's out of Mark. The man who comes to Jesus says, Lord, I do believe. Help my unbelief. God, I cannot see the wind, but it still moves my kite. And I can't always see the stars, but they still shine at night. And even though I can't see you, God, help me trust you're there, to love you and believe in you and know you always care. I wrote that one especially for my grandson, the book I dedicated to him, but I wrote that because he often says, well, I can't see God. How do I know he's there? Here's another. It is wonderful to be grateful and to sing your praises, Lord Most High. Sometimes I say things I should not. I fight with friends more than I ought, but you forgive me when I'm wrong and teach me how to get along. And when I am a grumpy Gus or pitch a fit and raise a fuss, it's better when I think of you and thank you, Lord, for all you do. and here from 1 Chronicles, please be with me so I will be safe from harm. Please keep me safe. I need you so on sidewalk sand and in the snow. Please shield me from mean dogs that bite and bullies who just want to fight. Please help me, God, not to get hurt if I do face plants in the dirt. And when I'm scared of anything, I'll think of you, my Lord and King. And then here's a question at the bottom. At what times do you especially want God to keep you safe? So those are ways you can engage kids. And then talk with God about that. See, the goal of this book isn't to just, okay, we're going to read this prayer. It's we're going to talk about these things and then talk to God. Lord, may glory be given to you, not to us. You are loving and faithful, Psalm 115:2. Anything that's good in me is all because of you. All good things come from your hands. It's something that you do. Please help me to be humble, to love you like I should, and give you all the glory because you are so good. And then at the bottom, every good and perfect gift is from God. I loved this project because it challenged me to think about what it means to follow Jesus in a childlike way. And, you know, sometimes when you talk about that, folks push back. They'll say something like, well, doesn't Scripture say that we should be mature in our faith? Yes, yes, but also no. Some confuse maturing in our faith with satisfying intellectual curiosity and accumulating knowledge. And sometimes it includes that, but that's not the end game by any means. And I'm afraid the church often misses that today. The goal of spiritual maturity is to draw us close to Jesus and make us more like him. And the more we grow in our faith, the more we realize how dependent we are, not just to get through the day, but to get through the moment, the more we become like him. Because it was he who said, I can do nothing apart from the Father. It was he who told us, you can do nothing apart from me. And the more we grow, the more we see the depths of our own sinfulness and how much we need grace. We need to become wary sometimes of methods and programs and so many steps because what our hearts are really hungry for is a relationship. And when the Spirit is at work in us, we come to the place where we say, oh, please, please, just give me Jesus. I need him more than anything else. One of the things I love about the Bible is it is such an honest book. And one of the things I love most about it, because I think it goes to the heart of the truth of Christianity, is the way that it doesn't always paint the disciples in a favorable light. You see, often you'll see that, especially in the history of cults, when someone is trying to start a new religious movement, then they glorify and aggrandize their founders. And the Bible doesn't do that. It shows us that they were fallible people just like us. And the interesting thing about the disciples is just like us, after they followed Jesus for a while, human hubris stepped in and they began to think, hey, man, we're all right. We're in pretty tight with Jesus. Hey, Jesus, let's talk about spiritual maturity, shall we? I mean, let's talk about this. I mean, Jesus, when it's all done, when the kingdom of God comes and we are there with you, who's going to be the greatest? Come on. Here we go. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And he called the little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly, I tell you, unless you change," notice that, "and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Do you hear it? There's some pride. There's some reaching there, isn't there? The disciples were always fighting about who was the greatest among them. James and John even had their mother put in a good word for them. Maybe they didn't put her up to it, but they didn't stop her, did they? And every time this happens, Jesus stops them and points them in another direction. He basically tells them that those who cannot follow cannot lead. And I love the physical action of this passage. Here are the disciples making themselves larger. And look at what Jesus does in the second verse. I mean, he literally does this. Here are the disciples standing around, who's going to be greatest? And Jesus goes and he gets a little child and he puts that child, boom, right there in front of them. And then he basically says, "How low can you grow?" The more we mature in our faith, the more humble and childlike our faith will become. I love the line from the old hymn, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace, just from sin and self to cease. Oh, I love that line. I mean, you ever say to yourself when you've gone down the wrong road for the umpteenth time, just stop it! Enough of me! Lord, more of you. More of you. Oh, to grow lower. To humble ourselves. Only He can help us do that. But with Him is rest. There is this peace. There is this calm. There is this strength. In the midst of the most difficult circumstances, it is something we cannot manufacture, but you know when you're in the middle of it. And it's like, there you are. There you are. We grow lower as we lean into Him. I think of the old hymn, "I need Thee. Oh, I need Thee." What do the youngest children do when life is busy around them and they're standing beside their parent, what do? They cling, right? They cling. And you and I are made to do that, to cling to Him. His word tells us that over and over. Jesus said in verses 3 and 4, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." You know, when you and I get to heaven by the grace of God, the people who shine the brightest won't be the famous ones. They will be the ones who bowed so low that the world never saw them. Loving Him, serving Him, selflessly, so much like Him. Here's a question to tie it all together and to help us apply this as we go through the week. How am I making myself smaller so that He can be made bigger? Think of what John the Baptizer said. "He must increase, but I must decrease." You know, we have to come to that place moment by moment. One of the things that God continues to teach me over the years is I only know I have faithfully discharged my duty as a preacher if somewhere in the midst of a sermon I say, not once, but several times, "Lord, please help me. I can't do this. I can't communicate this. It must be You. I must decrease. You must increase." That's not easy, is it? I mean, that goes against the grain of our sinful selves, right? But the beauty of it is that He who began a good work in us will carry it through to what? Completion, His word tells us. So God, what God requires, He also inspires. And He will build us in this. And so we must ask ourselves, are we insisting more on His way and less of our own? Are we asking ourselves, how can I help those around me love Him too? And how can I serve Him through loving and serving them? Are we depending more on prayer as a first resort than as a last resort? Going to that place of, "Lord, oh, cast your cares upon Him because He cares for you." The lower we go, the more we will see Him. Because we will be closer to Him. And I'm not talking about simply doing things that the world says are Christ-like. There's a lot of emphasis today upon doing certain things, especially works of service, and they are vital and they are important. But sometimes those works can be ends of themselves so that you get to the point where you're like the disciples who say, "You know, Jesus, come on." It's amazing the very things that are intended sometimes to take us there, how we mess them up, right? We find ourselves, you know, doing this thing or that thing because it makes us feel good. And then who's at the center of that? And so we have to keep our focus in that place. Oh, Lord. And then as our focus is in that place, He then leads us into those works of service, and we know that He sent us because His Spirit moves us and inspires us to that end. It's like Ken was talking about a moment ago. He heard about Jimmy's circumstance. The doctor called him. He prayed. And who gets the glory for that? The lower we go, the more we will see Him and what He alone can do. And we'll talk about this some more next Sunday. But oh, to want Him most of all. Lord, help us to want You most of all. Jesus gave Himself for us at the cross so that you and I could become the very children of God. We weren't born that way. He makes us His children as we confess our sins and receive His salvation and grow lower from there, becoming children who walk into new innocence and new freedom, pulled out of the dirt and washed clean in our souls, so that our faces can look into the light of our Heavenly Father and shine with His love and with His presence. Oh, have you ever seen the difference that Jesus makes on someone's face? It's one of the things that I love most today when I look at my son, because I remember how gray and ashen he was when he was addicted. And today I see this shining presence of Jesus' love at work. Child of God. Ah, that's what I want to be. That's what we want to be, right? I mean, you know, the older we grow, the younger we want to be sometimes, right? Because we were made for this, to reflect His presence. Children who look forward to our Abba Father and can hardly wait to see Him because we know Him and we love Him because we know. Oh, His love is better than life. He's everything. The older we get in Him, the more we mature in Him, the younger and stronger we will be. Oh, I want to be a child when I grow up. Don't you? May we pray. Lord, it is so sweet to trust in You, to cease from sin and self and look at You for just a moment. And oh, it's hard for us to keep our eyes there, to keep our focus there. But You, oh, in the sweetness of all that You are, You help us. Savior, You went to the cross for us out of this amazing love. And because You did, and the battle is won, we can win too, through Your strength. Oh, Lord, help us in this. Help us in this. This morning, as we're thinking about these things, maybe you're thinking, you know, I've never really received that gift. I can't mark it in my mind where I've said truly, yes, Lord, wash me clean. I want to be a new creation in you. I want to be your child. Oh, he has brought you here this morning for that very reason. So that you can say it and know it, but best of all, know him. And you know, the beautiful thing about being a Christian is that we don't have to have our act together. Actually, we have to realize that we can't. And we need him and what he alone can do. So would you look to Jesus? And would you say, yes, Lord, I believe. I believe. And it's okay, you can still have some questions. It's okay. But even a little bit of faith is precious to him, just a little. Yes, Lord, I believe. Believe you died on the cross for me. Help me. I receive you right now. Help me to want your way, to want you. Wash me clean. Let me be yours. I want to follow you. Oh, help me to do that right now. And he will, because he is faithful, and his word promises whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Lord, we praise you. Let's continue to, as we praise him for a moment, just sit in his silence. We're going to sing a hymn, but sing it as a prayer. And ask for him to speak to you and lead you lower.